If you like what we have going on here, make sure that you support the people that support us. Go to shop.lowerafterhours.com for all your clothing needs. Again, find that at shop.lourafterhours.com. Want to see a real velociraptor dribbling the basketball? Go to shop.lowerafterhours.com. Do you have a sarcastic friend in your group named Jeff? Then go to shop.lowerafterhours.com and find them the perfect gift.
This evening by none other than Lebatard Show Universe favorite, the commish, Sarah Spain.
Yay!
Sarah, thank you so much for joining us this evening. We really appreciate you you being here. You just got done with your radio show, Spain and Fitz, correct?
That's right.
And that just wrapped up. You're on from 7 to 9, is that correct?
7 to 9 Eastern, yeah.
Okay, right on. Well, you're joining us at 9:35, yeah. So yeah, like you literally 35 minute break. I see you've got a glass of red there.
Yep. Shoveled in some dinner.
All right. What'd you have?
I had a little risotto with asparagus and carrots and some Parmesan on top.
Nice. Okay. All right. Now, was this a dinner that you fixed for Brad since it's International Men's Day today?
Oh, like, yeah. Or, no, he's out with his bro, you know, probably talking about all the ways that men are being held down.
But, yeah. Dude stuff, right? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I didn't cook shit actually. Cause it was my friend gave us this Tovala oven. I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but like, you scan a card and put the things in and then it knows how long to like cook them for.
What?
So it's actually really good for nights like tonight where basically I got done with my show. I put it in there, scanned it, and then 15 minutes later had a meal.
That absolutely sounds like one of those, remember those Looney Tunes editions of like what the future is going to look like?
Yeah, it is a little Jetsons-esque.
Oh, whoa, that's super.
This is not an ad for Tovala, although I do like it a lot.
Man, I have to check that out. That sounds super cool. All right, we're going to kick the questions off with we're going to lead right off the bat with our foreign correspondent all the way from Australia, Morgan. Morgan, go ahead with your question.
First, let me address Lou's must be nice to be a billionaire. It is funny, even though I'm not a billionaire, it is absurd that now that I have enough money to pay for things, I get a lot of them for free. And when I was poor as hell, I got nothing for free. And I used to be like, that's so dumb. I keep hearing these people talk about the free stuff they're getting when they have good jobs to get paid for it. And now I'm that person. And I like it. I really do. I think it's great.
I mean, who wouldn't?
I personally think there should be more gift bags for poor people. Like,
if I'm
walking down the street, like, give me an Oscars gift bag. Like, I need those headphones. You don't need them.
Should we have some sort of identifier though, so that when you're walking down the street, because like you know how we talk about how Stugatz looks homeless, but he isn't. So what if people started giving him things on the street, assuming he had no money, and not realize that he just doesn't care?
Yeah, like a scan, like a Tovala scanner thing that scans your person.
Like a wristband of a certain color that identified whether you were a rich or a poor.
Yeah. Maybe they could. They could give gifts anytime you go like apply for like a home or anything if you have horrible credit.
Yeah.
When you get turned down, you get the gift bag.
We're not giving you any money, but here's some beats.
This should make your day better at least. I think that's a good plan.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, that's good. I think we should run with it. I want to know where the Cubs are going from here because I'm just going to start with I'm a homer and I want to know. And Aaron, put your hand down.
Love an Australian accent, just talking a Cubs homer.
Oh, dang, I've got my Cubs shirt on just because.
Nice. I have a Lauer shirt on that Juju Gotti sent me.
Well, there you go.
It's pretty rad. Actually, I wish I could tell you. The latest that I've heard is it sounds like pretty meaningful change, which to me sounds like a bit of a rebuild. And I'm torn on that because if you had told me around 2014 or so, when we looked around at our infield and how young everyone was and how talented everyone was, and we knew that there were even a couple more people in the farm system to come up, then I would have said, what? We only won one World Series? But, you know, they were in contention for a number of years after being, you know, not even considered a professional team the way they had to tank in order to get that farm system full of good talent. So they did exactly what Theo said he was going to do. My concern is that you pull the trigger now for a rebuild, despite still having some really good talent, and you don't guarantee yourself that in the future you're going to bring in people that are better than those guys. I would like to address and figure out why Chris Bryant hasn't ever gotten back to the talent level of his MVP year. I would like to figure out, you know, why it is that Javi can't sit on a fucking ball that's way outside and has to swing. You know, there's a lot of questions about talent that they already have and why it's not being optimized. But, you know, a lot of people make a whole lot of money to make those decisions. And one of my deepest flaws as a radio gas bag and sports gas bag is that I tend to actually believe that they know more than I do. Which I'm not supposed to. I'm definitely supposed to rant and rave and scream at them for making bad decisions, even when they're based on actual advanced statistics, knowledge, and hours of hard work.
But that's a bit of out of hope. Like, you hope they know more than you do.
Well, no. So
otherwise, they've got terrible opinions on things that they shouldn't have.
Like, that's why it's sad that Theo's leaving. That even though you can be critical of some of what Theo's decided, I think a lot of that is you make the move, and then the player still has to pan out to what everything tells you about them. And that doesn't always work out, right? But I trust Theo implicitly. I think he is the smartest exec I've ever had running a team that I cared about. And I'm very sad to see him go. But the fact that Jed Hoyer has worked alongside him for 17 years tells me that he trusts that he's a guy and wouldn't have been working with him all that time if he didn't have a lot of that same insight and the same approach. So
I'd like to be enthusiastic. He's not Matt Patricia, though.
What's that?
We're not getting a Matt Patricia out of this, are we? Like, he actually
I do not think that that's the case. Also, like, their relationship makes me think, and I've talked to Jed Hoyer a couple of times. He's not as fun as Theo, but that's tough to do. I mean, this guy, like, puts on bear heads and, like, chugs beer through the mesh in the face of it. But he is fun. Like, there, I don't know if you saw in The Athletic that, like, Theo and company went and TP'd Jed Hoyer's house the other day. Presumably as a congratulations for the new job. So I still think he's young and fun and smart. And so I don't think he'll be a Patricia type disappointment, but there's a lot of conflicts within that team. You need to be working with a Ricketts family that I'm not sure after winning is as invested as they are just profiting. The profit came from the win, but now that they got that, who's to say, you know? So all that to say, I have no idea what they're going to do, Morgan, and it's fucking stressing me out. So thank you for reminding me.
But yeah, this is the situation I'm in with every one of my teams at the moment. They've all kind of just turned to a little bit of shit.
Oh, so you're a fan of all Chicago teams. That's nice.
I'm just a fan of shit teams, apparently. So So we're just going to wade through it and keep going. But, you know, on second thing, just congratulations to the men and happy International Men's Day. I'm sure you really care about it, because the only day that you do care about it is International Women's Day when you ask when it is. So happy day to you.
You guys really push through.
It's perseverance. It's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of sweat.
It's hard out here for white male. It just is.
You know?
Proud of you.
They do remind us how much they care about International Men's Day by asking about it every International Women's Day.
Yeah.
So you didn't know it was today, but you would ask when it's our day.
Of course. Yes. Yes.
Happy days. I hope you get a gift bag on the way out.
Thank you so much, Morgan. The man that got really sportsy, Sarah. You rolled right into that. Got a lot of feelings on your Cubs. I know you do. All right, gonna go to Pam next. Think she's got a work life balance question. Go ahead.
Oh,
Pam.
Good, ladies' night. So then I can just click off when it starts to be you guys.
Exactly.
Oh boy. Okay. That was Fletch. Threat level orange. Somebody's here.
Okay, Sarah. So my question for you is: obviously, in your line of work, you have to have a pretty large social media presence. You have to be accessible to fans. But we all know that the internet is trash and Twitter is probably the most trash of all the internet. So at some point you have to get away from that. So when and how do you detach yourself from the internet when it is so much of what you do for your career?
I would say Twitter is the most trash that we still willingly use a lot, because there's like 4chan and shit that I'm not going anywhere near. I don't even want to hear about how people are planning to like bomb things or execute political officials. So Twitter, though, is up. And then I would also argue that the Levitard Reddit might be worse than Twitter, but I don't go there anymore, so I wouldn't know if it still is. But
it is.
Honestly, so I do occasionally have to check in with myself and notice if I was in a very good mood and now I'm not, what was I doing and what changed? And oftentimes it is that I've gotten into some sort of back and forth, or someone didn't understand what I was saying and now I feel like I have to defend myself or something. I much less often than I used to get like upset from people just being mean, because I'm kind of used to that by now. And, you know, I already know all the things that are wrong with me. So when people point them out, usually it's not a surprise. Although I did learn from the internet that I look like a linebacker. I was never insecure about my shoulders until the internet. So I appreciate them letting me know that it's something I should add to the list. Very long list. I'm glad that I now am aware that that's also a problem. That kind of stuff usually, even if I'm like, sometimes I'll go on TV and I'll see my outfit and be like, oh no, this doesn't look great. So then I'll know that I'm going to have to come back to you, like, you look really fat and gross today or whatever. But I'm like, oh, I know, bad choice, doing my best. So that usually doesn't do it. I actually just get more frustrated when I feel like either I'm like misunderstood or something I said, people didn't get the joke, and then they explain things to me. And I'm like, the joke is about sports and I know them. So the joke is based on my knowledge of sports, but now you're trying to explain to me why it's not true, because it wasn't true. It was supposed to be funny, not true. And then I get annoyed and then I have to walk away. So that's it, is really just figuring out, do I need to put this down for a while and step away from the Twitter machine? And then also I do need to clap back at people. It does make me feel better and it does make my experience worthwhile to have the opportunity to talk shit to people. So I need to do that. Like, whenever people tell me to not feed the trolls, I'm like, you do you, I'm gonna do me. Behind the scenes, I'm blocking and muting at the speed of light, and I am picking every once in a while someone that deserves to get fucked with. So let me do it, because I need to do it. Otherwise I can't just digest the shit all day without like clapping back. Social media is wild. I mean, the number of times it comes up and we realize how much time and energy we devote to it, it's kind of crazy, but we're all freaking addicted. Impossible to like step away.
No, absolutely. And I think I speak for everybody on the Zoom. We love when you clap back. Like,
thank you.
We share it in our group chat. We talk about it. We love it. Morgan and I, especially, who have a separate chat that's
we
like a ladies
bow
chat.
Down.
Yes, we talk about you in the ladies chat often, and we love it, and we're here for it.
Please, I'm glad to hear that. I know, like, I do think sometimes that, like, especially women getting in the industry see me do it, and it makes them be like, okay, first of all, I'm not the only one that's have these things said to me, but also I don't have to just sit and feel sad about it. I can, like, respond and be empowered and not take it. And so that's another reason why I like to write back sometimes, just so that people can see, like, you don't have to just sit at home and be sad and have people be mean to you.
It's all about representation. We need to see strong women telling idiot men to shut up on the internet.
Yes.
It doesn't win me everyone. And I'm well aware of that. I actually just did a podcast today where I was talking about how, you know, I understand that a lot more people would like me and I'd be more universally liked if I adhered to standard accepted practices of being a lady in the world. But that would really bum me out if because I'm a nice person. I just have opinions and I'm outspoken and I think I'm funny. And so a lot of the things that are well received when they come from a guy and aren't when they come from a woman are things I could do less of. But I would rather just try to change things and be an example for other loud, opinionated, funny women than have everybody like me. But it does, I mean, it does hurt my feelings. When I did used to go to the Reddit, I think what hurt my feelings the most is people who would say, like, she's a mean person or I bet she doesn't have any friends. And I'm like, I'm actually a really nice person. Like, I'm sarcastic and I crack jokes, but like, I'm extremely nice to the people that I care about and people on the internet and strangers. I like threw a wedding for these people that like messaged me on Twitter whose wedding got canceled. And like, I don't know, that hurts my feelings a lot more than telling me I'm like fat and ugly, is like that they don't know me at all. And they think just cause I'm like brazen for a lady, that means that like I'm unfeeling or like cold or mean or something.
Yeah. That's strong, opinionated people aren't bitches. That's not what we are.
Yeah.
So right. Stop calling us bitches, you bitches.
Although I have reclaimed the word bitch and I call everybody that I like badass bitches and my bitches and bitches get shit done. So I'm
And I'm a bitch in a blazer. In a blazer, I'm an absolute power bitch.
That is, yes. Yes.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
All right. About to turn into a sausage party up in here.
Sweet.
Time for some dude questions on International Men's Day. Perfect guest for today. All right. Up first, we've got Lou Rafter. He's got a question for you about Chicago sports teams. Go ahead, Lou.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
So, you have to get rid of one professional Chicago sports team. What team are you getting rid of and why?
Dang. I'm going to get some hate in my menchus for this one. They're perfectly fine, but I would get rid of the Chicago Fire, because if I'm going to watch professional soccer in Chicago, it's 100% going to be the Red Stars. And I can't get rid of any of the other ones. Even the White Sox, who aren't my team, I have a lot of friends who are White Sox fans. They are an interesting kind of, you know, opposite sometimes to the Cubs, and the rivalry's fun. The Fire are just like, meh. As you know, Stu Gatz always says, soccer is the sport of the future in America. And, you know, I'm sure the Fire and the MLS are, you know, on the brink of dominating and overtaking Champions League. But for now, I'm cool with not paying that much attention to them.
Right on. Thanks. I should have made it a little more condensed. I didn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you mean men's major professional sports, the Big Four?
Yes.
You have to qualify your questions because I'm inclusive.
Sarah, I am not a professional.
I don't presume that the only sports you mean are men's sports that are American.
Honestly, I didn't even think about soccer.
In that case, I would choose the White Sox. But since I presume you also want me to select from teams that I like and care about, then that's a really mean question.
He's a really mean person.
It's really mean. I presume I'm just getting rid of them right now and not all of their history, in which case I would get rid of the Bulls because, as I've said lately, they should be relegated to the G League until they earned a spot in the NBA because they're so trash. Whoa. Now, I'm very hopeful about their new front office, so I'm optimistic that we might return to being able to actually compete with other professional basketball teams. But until that happens, I watch much less Bulls than anything else right now because they frustrate the hell out of me.
Damn.
Also, are you the guy that talked to Fitz about music? I see all your guitars behind you.
Yes.
Cool.
Sorry, it was mean.
You actually just taught me something, and that is that there is a professional sports team called the Chicago Fire. So that seems like a kind of a tasteless name, considering.
Here's the thing about the Chicago Fire. It's a point of pride for Chicago in some ways because literally the whole city burned down pretty much except for the water tower.
Yeah.
And then they rebuilt the city with a new and better idea of how cities should operate, full of like alleys and green spaces and whatever. So that's why, unlike New York, we don't have to put our garbage in the middle of the street at night. We have alleys and garbage spaces so that it's not just stinking on the street all the time.
Okay.
So yeah, as Starship would say, we built this city to represent a better future. And so we actually do feel pretty good about it. And okay. The new logo was hated at first, but it's actually kind of cool. It's almost like a crown. And then the reflection on the bottom looks like flames. I don't know. It's hard to describe, but I think they did a good job. Your point is valid though. It, you know, but there's like the San Jose earthquakes, right? And that seems also a little bit touchy for a state.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good point. Like overdue fissure that's going to probably kill many.
And you know what? As I'm saying this, I'm sitting in North Carolina, home of the Carolina Hurricanes, that cause billions of dollars in damage each year.
Miami.
Miami Hurricanes.
Sometimes we just reclaim the things that hurt us most to try to pretend we have control.
It's like reclaiming the word bitch, right? Like it's kind of a similar thing. All right. Up next, we've got Fleminem. He's got a question about track and field, I believe. Go ahead, Flem.
Oh. Yeah, no. So I saw that you were a co-captain track and field, if I'm not mistaken, in college. So it's more of one. When you're the commissioner, there's no co-captain. So I imagine the other captain knew who was in charge the entire time. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, I imagine you had to be a fierce competitor given the background of everything you've done. So do you still check in on what that co-captain is up to now and be like, I'm Sarah Spain, I won?
I wish I could say that I knew exactly how many co-captains there were. There might have been three, actually. So in a track team, they kind of try to spread the love so that there's someone that's in the distance group, someone who's in like maybe jumps and throws, and someone in sprints. Because if you're a captain and you do a discipline that doesn't involve you ever practicing with someone else, you're less likely to be able to really connect and lead. So there tended to be two or three captains. Fortunately, because I did have Tathlon, I was in sprints and jumps and throws. So in middle distance for the 800. So I kind of got to mess with everybody on the team. Competitively, I did not feel like I was at odds with my fellow co-captains. Although one of my co-captains, this girl, Sarah Hersky, she was a year or two younger than me. We're still friends. And she broke my school record in the javelin, which really did piss me off.
Not in my personal record book. She did not.
Yeah. And in my personal record book, it was a foot fault and they weren't watching. It was also wind aided, and Olympic record wise, they would have argued that it was not applied to the record books. But no, so she's still a friend. And only for a couple of years did I get to claim a school record. And that was the end of that. She surpassed me.
Noted. Okay. I'll pass it back to you.
Had very strong feelings about that too. That was for her taking my school record.
I'm with you, Fletch.
I love that you did not waste any time going right into that. Like you've given that question thought before. Like you keep that in the back of your mind a little bit.
I have a problem. I am way too competitive. It's embarrassing. Sometimes when I listen to Amin on the show, I think to myself, oh my God, that's what I sound like. And it's a problem because not just accept when he like is wrong or he loses is always like a hamstring injury or something. I'm like, that's me. Like I have problems losing. I'm very competitive. But I'm working on being a better, not winner. I would never say loser. I'm never actually a loser, but I sometimes am not a winner, and I'm working on dealing with that better.
Unlike Amin, who just works on better excuses.
Amin just finds a way to avoid the competition or make better excuses. I am genuinely trying to accept that, especially as I get older, I will not win everything.
call them no calls. Like they're not losses. They're just no calls or.
Yeah. I'm just going to go with the college rules. What are they calling it? Just
abdicated win or something.
Or something like when COVID cancels it. Uncontested. That's how I remember those.
Love it.
So there's always a chance I might come back at the end.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. All right. Up next, we're going to go to Jeff out in California. Jeff's got a question about acting, I believe. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, sir. It's Jeff. Right. So I had a question about I believe we'll call attempted acting career.
Yeah.
I don't want to be mean.
Non-winning acting career.
Okay, so one, I was just wondering if you had any like particularly memorable, fun stories about that, or you know, something that perhaps led you to change direction or something to that effect. And the second part of the question is, pursuant to your IMDb, in episode one, 2005, the series The Playbook, you played both the sophisticated date and also the hot drunk girl. And I was wondering how those two characters.
Range. Yeah.
So I'll leave that.
Incredible range. I'll start with that one quickly. That, I believe, was a pilot for Spike TV, RIP. And the sophisticated date scene, I believe I was chastising my date for not having shit together and that he was too old to not, you know, have a job and be, you know, whatever. So total wheelhouse, just a flaming bitch. And then later in a scene, they did need someone to be, you know, stumbling through and out of control. So that also was me. Nailed it. A lot of the things you'll find on my IMDb or literally anything that I did in my very brief acting attempt, a little bit of typecasting. One of them is sarcastic Chicago girl. One of them is tall basketball player. I believe sophisticated date was also bitch in the script. And there may have been.
We also have girl in art gallery. I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was another stellar performance of standing. So funny stories. I think I have a couple. So one of them was, and I've mentioned this before, but I don't think on any Levitard related stuff. If you remember the movie Beowulf, it was an Angelina Jolie joint. And it was Angelina Jolie, but she was supposed to be a little more womanly. So not quite as rail thin as like her Mr. and Mrs. Smith days, a little curvier. And so there was a side on either Actors Unlimited that I was part of, or might have even just been Craigslist, but there was a side for motion capture for that movie, which is like that Polar Express with Tom Hanks. I think that's the movie most people think of when they think of motion capture, where they put all the dots all over you. And so they wanted someone to do all the work for Angelina Jolie where it wouldn't have to actually be her. And my measurements for what they were looking for were similar to her, but slightly curvier. So this was back in the day when I thought I was fat, but I had a rockin' body. And so I showed up and they literally had you go into a room and wear a bra and underwear. No, no bra, underwear. And then you had to take pictures in a circle like this, but like holding your boob, but like not holding it up because they wanted to see if your boob had the same hang as hers. So that the motion capture, because like I think her character was like either not really clothed or it was like a half woman, half beast thing that was like almost like a like the movie Cats or something, where it was like part of her body is the thing she's wearing or whatever. So first of all, I don't think I like saw any signs or like paperwork that indicated that they couldn't just use those photos for anything they wanted afterwards. Fletch,
you're good. Mine are gonna do it at some point too.
His face right now, Fletch.
Aww.
What? Everything's fine. Okay. Anyway,
we're keeping all of this in.
No, don't worry about it. We like dogs on this pod.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
The thing is, like, usually I lock them somewhere to do professional endeavors, but. It was, I hadn't seen them all day and I wanted to drink wine and snuggle while I was doing this. So that's what's happening.
And this is not professional. So don't worry.
Well, I figured they would just, would be welcome and they would add color. See, look, there's a little doggy up there, a little nugget baby. Okay. So, so I have no idea if like whoever was taking those photos to see if people's boobs hung like Angelina Jolie's, like did something with them. Like, are they still out in the world? In which case, please release them. Cause like I said, rock them up. And I would be fine if everybody thought that's still what I look like. That was weird and I didn't get it, which was a bummer because a lot of it, they didn't need like an actual stunt person, but a lot of it involves some stunt work on like wires and stuff, which would have been badass. So that was a weird one. Oh my God. So again, like poor as hell. So like any side that you get that you would apply to and might fit you, I'm going for. So I get one that's supposed to be a instructional, like a video to accompany a program to help people quit drugs and alcohol. And it's supposed to be just a scene at a picnic. So they call me in for the interview and I'm driving, trying to find this building. And I'm near like Upright Citizens Brigade and this coffee shop I used to go to. I'm like, I've been in this area. There's no like studios here. What am I looking for? And I realized the audition is at the Scientology Center in Hollywood, like this freaking mansion,
huge,
huge mansion. And I'm like, oh shit. So I go and sit in the lobby and I'm waiting for my audition, which was like, pretend you're at a picnic. And then I'm like reading the pamphlet, which is written at like maybe a third grade level. And it's so transparent and sad that it's appealing to like people who have nothing going on. It's like, has your family abandoned you? Do you have no friends? Are you like lonely and want to be in a cult? It was so depressing. Didn't get that either. Did I have any other weird acting? Well, I felt bad about one because I actually got cast in this like shitty ass independent film and I was supposed to be a model, which, okay. And also the beginning scene, they wanted the camera to be behind me walking down a hallway and they didn't ask me anything about any of my body parts, but I have one midget leg from tearing my Achilles and one bigger calf. And I have like a scar from the surgery. And I'm like, this is like the dumbest, you should have, like, if you knew this scene was in your movie and it starts with this like model walking away and you care about whether her legs look like a model, you probably should have found out if she had a wonky leg. And also I have like a very strong calf on the side that didn't get surgery. It doesn't look anything like a model's leg. Like it's a, I call it the super calf because the other one's the midget calf. And so this was terrible casting in general because I don't look like a model at any part of me, but especially not that part. So that was dumb of them. And I don't know, maybe they got a leg double for that scene. Who knows? But yeah, I mean, I have a lot of really dumb, silly stories. More of them are from like when I didn't even get auditions and I had to like point to cars at a golf tournament, or I was a boxing ring girl at a casino once. And then the person who was supposed to sing the national anthem didn't show up. So my promotional modeling agent was like, oh, it says you sing on your resume. Why don't you do it? So I had to get in a casino, all Spanish speaking. I was supposed to be Latina and they ran out of Latina models. So they sent me, presumably because my last name's Spain. I don't know. And we all had the same outfit on and it was a PT Cruiser dress sponsored by PT Cruiser. And it was made of like blue bathing suit material. And we all had the same dress, but the other models were actually Latina. So they were like 5'3". So theirs was a dress and mine was basically a shirt that barely covered my crotch. So then I had to climb between the ropes of the boxing ring and sing the national anthem. No starting note, started way too high. Real bad. And then like hold up the numbers. This was like months after I left Cornell. So I was like really putting my degree to use.
And this is at what, like Hawaiian Gardens or something? Like,
yeah, somewhere in East LA. I don't even remember. I literally was the only person there that didn't speak Spanish. And then I had to flip a fake plastic egg on Hollywood Boulevard to promote Iron Chef. I mean, yeah.
You just did the standard, like trying to be an actor in LA stuff.
Yeah, you do whatever you got to do. Except well, porn, I didn't do that.
Oh, that was a phenomenal answer, and I'm sure, for the record, that you were excellent as both the sophisticated date and also the hot drunk girl. So
I mean, I know I nailed bitch that part.
Much appreciated.
I'm trying to resist.
Oh wait, one more funny story that people who do hate me will find funny. So I auditioned for this music video for this famous, I didn't know at the time, but she was like the Britney Spears of Italy. In fact, when I went to Italy a couple years later, and we were talking to these dudes and I mentioned her name to see if she was anyone. They like knew who she was and thought it was the coolest thing that I was in her music video. But in the audition, I was supposed to be a girlfriend in a bad relationship, like in a verbally abusive relationship. And so I got the part and then I got there and they put me and the guy in the booth where we're supposed to be together. I don't even think we'd gotten in the booth yet. We'd just been ourselves for like 5 minutes and they changed it so that I was abusing him because it was clear to them in like second that I would be more likely to be an asshole. I think because the guy was just first of all, he was shorter than me, which is like every audition that ever happened. And also he was just kind of meek. Like, I don't know, that might have been nepotism, because that's not the guy I would have hired for the abusive boyfriend role, although you never know, because sometimes those people are, like, simmering beneath the surface. But it was a real message to me about my first impressions. So, that was great.
I'm trying to resist the urge to do the Inside the Actor Studios thing, where, like, I ask, you know, is drunk hot girl there right now, or
yeah,
is this,
yeah,
or
yeah.
Can we speak to sophisticated date?
Yeah, we're on our way. Hot girl getting farther away by the day.
Yeah, I can tell you're a few, maybe you're not, I don't know, but you did advocate for somebody releasing nudes of you from some points.
It was
I
inhabited Moira Rose to the point of demanding that my nudes be released.
I love it. All right, internet, you heard it. That from the mouth of Sarah Spain, nobody else said it. All right.
We'll put it on Reddit, it'll be up in 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Mark from Reddit is gonna put a post up.
Oh good.
all right. Up next we have got Aaron from Memphis. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, Sarah. Sorry. Well, that's fine. All right. So I just want to start off with, I'm sorry that as a Cardinals fan, I'm sorry that you're not.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, so my question is more of a heavy hitter than a lot of these guys have been asking. So
then just so it's not awkward after your question, in case it is a heavy hitter and that wasn't sarcasm, let me point out that you have a very good baseball team, but your fans suck ass. So I'm very glad that I'm not one of you. And even though Cubs fans can be obnoxious, it's in a totally different way than your racist, can't spell the word moron fans and don't know how to spell traitor.
Okay. I will say the one time I went to Wrigley as a fan, like when I was little, well, I guess that's the only time, I don't know why I put fan in there, but nevertheless,
and then when you played for the Cardinals.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I had on like a Cardinals jersey and everything, and a Cubs fan gave me a free bucket hat because I was a little kid.
That's nice.
And so, yeah. as much as I don't like the Cubs, the fan y'all aren't that bad. There's a lot worse.
I think honestly, every fan base has morons and assholes.
Yes.
It's really just a total crapshoot where you end up on a given day. So I, even places like, you know, Philly, where people say they throw stuff at Santa, I could think it's total crapshoot. And I tend not to buy into, my husband has this website, The Heckler, and he always jokes that he wants to, and I think I might've gotten him the URL once and he never did anything with it. But I think it was some website, something to the effect of like yourfansaremorons.com or something. And it was going to be just a running example of like literally every team has a bunch of assholes rooting for them, because we get annoyed with people trying to argue that like some are better than others, because just a real, real, you know, mixing bowl of shite.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Carry on with your in-depth
question. Yes, of course, the heavy hitting stuff. So, all right, what is, if there's one thing that you're laying in bed at night and it's something very minuscule to everyone else in the world, but it's going to keep you up all night thinking about, just something really unimportant, what is that most likely to be?
Interesting. I'm a good sleeper, so most things that keep me up are pretty serious, like, you know, the decay of democracy, the embrace and support of uneducated people who don't work hard and are bad people. But I'm getting away from myself. The thing that actually keeps me up at night is I constantly have songs in my head. And once they're in there, I cannot stop repeating them. And at one point, the song in my head that kept me from sleeping was the fucking Kazoos before Christine Lisi. And I still have that pop into my head at random. And I'll just be like driving. I'll be like, and I'm like, oh my God, it doesn't even have words. It's not a thing. And so the very first day that they introduced it and played it a bunch of times, I could not fall asleep because my head was full of fucking Kazoos. But yeah, normally because I'm a good sleeper anyway, if I take one melatonin pill, that's it. I'm out. I have terrible night terrors and like really weird dreams. One where Fletch was a seahorse and it was so sad because he was drowning. And I was like, how can you be a seahorse and not know how to swim? But it was like his body was like vertical and his head, but he was kept going below the water and I couldn't get down there and save him. That came like the day after my entire building I was in, that was like 30 floors, was shut down due to a shooter and COVID. I have a lot of shooter dreams, which is terrifying. So yeah, nothing ever keeps me awake, but I do often wake up with like full memory of night terrors.
Yo, that melatonin will give you nightmares. It happens to me too, man. Like straight up. Yeah.
NyQuil gives me the worst ones where I wake up. I'm like, I don't know if that was worth it. I might've been better off staying awake the whole night.
Yeah. My wife's been on a musical kick here of late and I can hear them in my office while I'm working. And so when I lay in bed at night, this week it's been Les Mis music that's just played just on repeat. And I don't.
Related to Les Mis, have you ever seen one of the greatest Saturday Night Live sketches of all time called Lobster Diner?
No, I've never really gotten into Saturday Night
Live. Well, I don't care if you have bad taste in television. The important thing is that you Google SNL Lobster Diner. John Mulaney wrote it years ago when he was still on the staff and they never used it. And he came back to host and they decided to finally put this into production and it spawned every time he's been on since something similar. So they also did Bodega, something that you would never buy at a bodega. And then the most recent one they did was like being in Times Square and buying underwear at a store. So basically the point of this sketch is you should never order lobster in a diner, but it's set to the music of Les Mis. And so like Kenan Thompson's a lobster and he comes out in this giant tank and he sings about how he thought he was going to live. And then Clausette instead of Cosette comes out. That's Kate McKinnon. That's the daughter lobster. And then she wants him to take him instead. And then the whole cast comes out and they form a barricade and they sing One More Day. And it's amazing. And you should watch it. And that's what I think of when I think of Les Mis now.
I'll have to check that out. I will. But just because you recommended it, I'll check it out.
It's very funny.
Aaron, right, well, you have to, lobster in a diner not being a thing, you have to at least give your sushi take.
I mean,
you have a sushi take? Is it a hot
take? It's not a take. I like sushi. And here in Memphis, by where my office used to be, there's a gas station that had an actual sushi chef. It wasn't like one of those like regular gas stations. It was a restaurant inside the gas station.
Mm-mm.
And there was a sushi chef in there. And I'm even wearing a shirt for it right now. See?
You have a shirt for a sushi place at a gas station?
Yeah.
It's called Sushi to Go?
No. Here's the thing. I lived in LA for 6 years. And that was my primary sushi years. So I became accustomed to fresh fish and actual fish, not whatever the fuck you cobbled together and pretended was fish. And then I moved back to Chicago, forgetting that in Chicago, I needed to go to actual sushi restaurants when I wanted sushi and not just one of those markets where there's like a hot bar that you can pick from. And then on the side, they've got sushi in like trays alongside pre-made salads. And I made that error and it haunted me. And then again, later I made it, thinking the first one was by mistake. And again, food poisoning. And then I got sushi at the Newark airport, but in the $2 billion like new area with all the fancy places. And I was on my way. This is a weird trip from Portugal to home to LA to Hawaii. Cause I had a wedding and a friend's thing back to back. And I got it on my way from Portugal to Hawaii. I got food poisoning and then I couldn't eat for the whole week in Hawaii and I couldn't have any lava flows and I couldn't drink anything delicious. And I was so angry. And now I'm always going to be angry at the Newark airport, even the fancy part. So I'm worried about you is what I'm saying, Aaron. I don't think that's a good choice.
Everything makes my stomach hurt. So it does. Every food makes my stomach
hurt. And maybe extrapolating from that, you could remove the most egregious things you eat and it might,
but there's no levels
to settle in nicely.
There's no levels. It's not like, oh, you know, I eat a nice salad and it's a 3 and then I eat the sushi and it's a 10.
All the same. Do you have IBS?
Yes, I do.
It's been diagnosed?
Yes.
I would guarantee you that your gastroenterologist or whoever diagnosed you with that would tell you that gas stations strategy will further that problem.
Yeah, I feel like most medical professionals would, regardless of what part of me they were looking at. It's probably not good for any of me, but, you know.
Okay, well, you know.
YOLO, right?
Sure. I prefer the SNL. Yeah, there's an SNL sketch, Aaron. I know you're a fan. It was back when The Lonely Island was on, and it was YOLO, except it was You Only Live Once, and it was about why you needed to be safe, because you only live once, so if something bad happens to you, it's over. That's more how I live.
That's fair. That's
love
fair.
It. Love it. All right. We're going to go up next to Ant in Brooklyn. He's got a question about the Ivy League, I think. Go ahead, Ant.
Okay.
So first, hi, Sarah. Thank you for joining us. I wanted to ask, I know that Fletch is not a seahorse, but is he a shepherd?
No, Fletch is probably an Australian cattle dog mix. We're not sure because he's a mutt. But they think probably Australian cattle dog and then maybe some pointer because he's got kind of a curly tail.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's also the world's greatest being, human, animal, celestial, or otherwise, in case you're wondering.
So now my main question goes back to something that's been discussed on the Levitage show the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, have you ever been to Harvard? Either for a tour for school or just visiting, and what you thought of it.
Well, I presume you bring that up because of the jackass on The Bachelorette who couldn't spell limousine or do basic math, Bennett, which, you know, not surprising because, you know, a lot of gentlemen's grades at Harvard. I don't know if you've heard of that term, but it's basically like just show up to class and we'll give you a C even if you didn't do anything. Also, you know, tough to get into, but a lot of nepotism and a lot of like buying your way in. Whereas Cornell, toughest to graduate from. Not as hard to get into, but no gentleman's grades at our joint. Anyway, I have been to Harvard. I visited there with a couple other schools with my dad when I was doing college visits because I could only go on two recruiting trips because I did sports year round. So I never had weekends where I wasn't competing and could take off. So I had to kind of try to pick and choose where I actually went on my recruiting trips. So instead, over the summer, we tried to do some where we put a bunch of them together. And the only thing I remember about Harvard, other than, you know, very pretty, nice place, certainly would have gone there if I'd gotten in, which I didn't, was my dad pointing out that all the boys on campus were short. My dad likes to mess with me about things like that. He was like, well, can't go here, Sarah. I was like, I think those were a bunch of soccer players. I think that's what was happening there. But, and then we also competed there regularly for track. So I went there, but the only thing that's was too bad about track is that, you don't really explore much. Like you usually would get in the night before, just like compete all day and then hop back on the bus. So, there weren't a lot of the other Ivies that I got to see much of when I would go visit. And so they were like, H and G, hi and goodbye.
And so as a Cornell grad or an Ivy Leaguer in general, did everyone hate Harvard? Or is it just Yale that hates Harvard?
You know, we didn't really spend much time talking about the other Ivies at our Ivy, although I'm sure if you polled all the people at Cornell, almost all of them probably also tried to go to Harvard and didn't get in. Not all of them, because there's obviously a ton of stuff at Cornell that's specific and lauded as a place to go for that specific thing. And it's much bigger if you wanted a more, you know, diverse and bigger landscape and campus and group of people. And then, you know, sports wise, great hockey team, great, you know, other sports. So, but yeah, we didn't sit around much and bag on the other ones. And to be honest, now that I'm out, I'll crack jokes with like Mina and Pablo, but I actually root for all the Ivies to do well at things because now it feels like we're all in it together. And like, there's not that many Ivy athletes doing great things or programs. So I tend to root for them. The other nerds.
Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah. Will, that's an amazing freeze frame of your beard covered in snow that just popped up on your screen. You look like the abominable snowman.
Thank you very much. That was actually at a Dollywood. That's not snow. It's actually bubbles. Like they have like a winter wonderland thing that it's like soap suds.
Did you listen to Dolly Parton's America, the podcast?
I have not yet. Is it good?
It's fantastic.
I mean, you've been to Dollywood and you didn't listen to the
great. I mean, I didn't love Dolly that much until I listened to the podcast, and then I realized that I loved her more than I could ever know.
Dolly is a patron saint. She's up there. She should be in the like the Steve Irwin, Bob Ross, like Mr. Rogers category as far as I'm concerned.
She was a part of this vaccine getting discovered.
Yeah.
She's literally saving the world and donating like books and shit. But no, you should listen to the podcast. It's not even really so much about her music as it is about a whole disparate amount of things that she's interrelated to. But there's like, it's really fascinating. Like one is like a whole class that's about Dolly Parton, but it more talks about sort of like rural America and feelings about people from the South and their connection to the rest of the country. And then there's like really interesting facts about like the name redneck actually came from like the workers who would wear a red bandana to reflect that they were willing, that they weren't willing to go against the union, or that they were like, it was super racist and not related at all to like their Southern roots. It was anyway, fascinating.
I'm very familiar. Just the fact that you brought that word up. So I really hope no one from Twitter listens to this podcast. I've been banned like 3 times from Twitter. Here's a story real quick. I asked Marty Smith to come on to our podcast, but this was like right around the time that the whole Bubba Wallace like garage incident happened. And I asked Marty to come on and talk about the differences between good old boys, rednecks, hicks, and hillbillies, like all those different names. And I got mass reported on Twitter. So I've been on the run from like Twitter law ever since then. Oh. So like I get perma banned every like 6 months for that now.
I can see how without context they might have thought you were like mocking Marty or something.
I think it was just a bunch of angry NASCAR fans because Marty was actually like, you know, like bummed out and disappointed that this had happened.
That makes
sense. And so people were trolling him constantly and I got just caught in the crossfire, I think.
And now he will need to start a new one tomorrow. Yeah,
no, I am totally fucked now.
And you look like the complete anti-NASCAR. you definitely give off anti-NASCAR.
That beard, the questions that you wanted to know the answers to.
Seriously.
I told you it wasn't redneck, it was hick. All right? The hick is the offensive thing.
I've done my...
Me, as someone who's been called both, I promise you,
Aaron, as someone who's been called both as well, I did my homework. Damn it, I know which word. I found this forum where people like college football fans, like Oklahoma fans, like somebody got called a redneck on there and reported someone. Like that is a word that if Twitter's algorithm decides that it's going to ban you for it, it absolutely will. Hick, they won't.
I don't know.
That's ridiculous. Okay,
I'll have to look that up.
That's ridiculous. Hick is much more offensive.
The one syllable. I think it's because it's one syllable. It just sounds way more direct and hurtful.
Well, there's a large difference between the two. I mean, there's a gigantic difference between the
two. I agree. Well, let's real quick, we're going to go to up next. We're going to go to Beep Count. He's got I don't know how to phrase it exactly. Beep, go ahead for your rapid fire round.
Sarah, thank you so much for joining us. You are going to take part in something that no one has done before and everyone is expecting. It is the Spanish Beepsquisition. These are going to be 5 rapid fire questions. First thing that comes to your mind. You have one TV show on a desert island.
Well, Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
Like 45 seasons worth. And even though there's a lot of bummers in there, there's a lot of winners too.
Fair enough. All right. What has been your favorite thing to solve on your South Bitch sessions?
Ooh. I think my favorite one was when I broke down why people don't understand the word humbled. When they say humbled and blessed, anything essentially like grammatical, I have a lot of fun with that. Just like playing on words because I'm a nerd about that stuff. But I think that was one of my favorites, was breaking down why you do not say hashtag humbled when you win an award, because it's actually the opposite of a humbling experience.
Well, we are humbled that you're with us. Now listen to this question very carefully, because this one can trip people up. What celebrity do you look like you have peed next to?
This is a brain teaser, man, because you got to think of multiple steps.
Sorry, there's a fight happening in this game, and this ref just got entangled. So this is difficult because I look different depending on the scenario, right? So, for instance, my very good friend who lived in the same building as me for the first 3 months or so of knowing me thought I was a lesbian softball coach because I would return from work and always have to write a quick response story to something in the news when ESPNW first started. So I would immediately change out of work clothes into the most comfortable thing possible, which is like a double XL mesh short and a giant t-shirt. And then she met my husband and was hitting on him and then was like, fuck, he's taken and what with her? Okay. Anyway, I digress. So, I mean, I would look like I might be peeing next to someone different in my softball attire. Never played softball either. I'm going to go with like, Candace Parker.
Perfect. Yeah. That's a perfect
answer. I look like I would have peed next to some athletic women.
That's a perfect answer. This one comes courtesy of Murph. What mascot would you choose to take on five velociraptors in a regulation NBA game?
Oh my God, I love mascots so much. Like, not to the point of being a furry, but close. Like, I really love mascots a lot. So they have to beat five real velociraptors
five
or the
real velociraptors?
Mascot?
Yep, five real velociraptors. And this is a regulation game, all rules enforced. One mascot to take on, or you can do a team of the one mascot or five mascots to take on a team
see,
of velociraptors.
I get it. Like, velociraptors don't have hands that could grip the ball, but they could immediately murder the entire other team.
They would foul out.
I've often suggested the Stanford tree. The Stanford tree is a little bit indefensible because, I mean, what is a raptor going to do to a tree?
That is true. They couldn't like saw it down, but the tree can't score either. What are we going for here? Just surviving or actually winning the game? The problem.
I mean, a tree's defending the rim, though. I mean,
again, I'm focused on offense here. I need something that can handle the ball, put it in the basket, but also not immediately die. And I realize that you said they could foul out. I imagine that a murderer would be a foul. But if there's five of them and five of us, then they would each murder one. They would all foul out. We would be dead. They would still technically win. Because we would be dead.
Yes. Yeah, Sarah's not trying to win this game 0-0, y'all.
Exactly. Like, I'm going to go out Jameis Winston style with 180 touchdowns and 179 pick.
Yes.
And I
said, it'd be good to watch.
That's just the best example of someone who doesn't give a fuck about defense or anything other than scoring. This is a really tough question to ask someone who overthinks everything and is extremely analytical and logical because I'm actually trying to come up with an answer and I'm not sure. Are there any mascots that actually have, is there a knight that actually wears armor?
The USC Trojan, thank you very much.
The UCF.
Is he wearing like a no shirt and like a floppy little skirt? No, but what about the Golden Knights? Do they have an actual knight in
UCF,
armor?
UCF, the Golden Knight.
All right, I'm going five knights. At the very least, there'll be that moment when some of them have their limbs missing and then they pull the, like, it's just a flesh wound.
Monty Python.
I'm getting better. I'm not dead yet. That was a combination of Life of Brian and, but you guys got it. Anyway.
Great accent.
Nailed it, Morgan.
Yeah, nailed
the
it.
Accent.
And finally, what guests can you help get us onto this podcast?
Well, I mean, it depends on who you want. Do you guys have any, like, do you have anyone that you've asked that's like been a real dick and hasn't even responded and or just said no? Name names. You guys are all nodding, but like fearful.
Mike Ryan.
Dominique, Mina, Mike Ryan has agreed to come on here. I think he had to, like, he was
there's some
into
timing
his house
issues with Mike
when we.
Okay.
Yeah.
We haven't been able to land Norby.
we haven't landed Dan yet.
Dan Orlovsky?
Yes. Yep.
Well, that'd be good.
Perfect. Yeah. I'll get you Dan Orlovsky. He will come on.
And a whiteboard. I want a whiteboard and I want him doing X's and O's all over it.
No, so yeah, Dan is a tough one. I really think the only reason I got him on my podcast is because
I was launching a podcast on his network, and so he felt like it was required. Meanwhile, Stu Gatz is supposed to come on for the second time forever, and he does the same thing he does to them where he says yes, but then when you actually try to schedule it, he never actually does it. Mina will totally do it. She just has 8,000 jobs and is basically the most coveted human being on earth right now. So I kind of get that. Mike Ryan, that's a scheduling thing. Dominique, what the hell is he doing? He should be on this show. He doesn't have to work that much. As he told us on SportsCenter while talking about female faux vaginas, I don't need this job.
I know someone who I would love to have on the podcast and who I remember has a bit of a crush on you. Could you help us get Ric Flair?
Oh, Ric Flair. Woo! That was a real journey for me because I don't really know much about Ric Flair. And then I changed my name to Smokin' Sarah Spain because I thought it was funny. And then a bunch of people told me that, you know, he's had some problematic issues that I maybe wouldn't be in support of. So I was like, oh, we're going to take that out. Ric Flair, you really should go through Mike Ryan for that one. I mean, he was like at his birthday party. Once you get Mike on and he falls in love with all of you, you're all very lovable. Then at the end, you can slide in the old Ric Flair ask. Have I said no to everyone you suggested to me?
Who should we get on that we haven't asked? Who would be your recommendation?
Well, have you had Juju on?
Yes, he was one of our first.
I need to listen to that. He's a mystery wrapped inside a puzzle. Buried in an enigma. I want to know more about Juju.
He was actually one of our first episodes.
Okay, I'll have to go back and listen. Who should you have on? I mean, there's like so many awesome people. Have you had Diana Russini on?
We have not.
Okay, have Diana on. She is a riot. She is very funny. She's very Jersey. She's very honest. She'll tell you about punching a girl in the face on my podcast. She talked about punching a girl in the face in a soccer game. And then the mom of that girl started tweeting me and saying it was a lie and it never happened. Oh, no. And I was like, oh my God, we are diving deep into New Jersey history. Shit's going down. You should have her on. And she just got married in like a secret ceremony with a dude that we've all seen one picture of, and we've seen 8,000 photos of her a week. So I'm like very interested in that dynamic too. And I want to learn more about that.
I just want to have Fat Russillo on and not Diana.
Yeah, maybe just ask her to come on and then say you needed to ask him a question and then just only talk to him the whole time.
Even the proposal on the beach photo that she tweeted out, it was like a picture of Bigfoot. Like he was blurry. Like it was like out of focus and it was like half a mile away. I was like, who the hell is that dude? Because the joke is like PFT commenter and her like had a thing and people were like, is that PFT? Like,
well, there was one where someone was fixing like a curtain in her room and I was like, oh my God, is that him? Is that him? And she was like, it's my dad. Post a picture. What are you doing?
So weird. All right. Beep, was that the final question for the Spanish Beepquisition?
Yeah, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Of course.
All right. I'm going to throw it back to Lou Rafter. He's got a special something for you. Go ahead, Lou.
Hello, Sarah, again. On behalf of Lau After Hours, we would like to thank you. And since you are the commish, you need the proper attire to be the commish. So we made you a special.
Oh my God. That's amazing. I'm going to wear it every day. Holy shit. Where'd you make that? Did you make that in a shop of yours, Nick Offerman?
Yeah. As we were talking, I was, you know, in the background, I was
welding a hat.
Welding. No. I was embroidering the hat for you as we talked. So
Sarah, do I always try to make hats are made.
I know welded. And I teach that at Cornell.
It was embroidered.
And then Nick Offerman's actually a woodworker, not a welder. But the joke is, it kind of looks like Nick Offerman.
Right.
Then welding is the first thing that came to mind. Although it does look more like
he whittled it for you is what he's done.
Y'all made Sarah do what she hates the most, which is explain the joke.
Explain the joke.
I've been watching a lot of Making It. Because my fragile psyche is triggered by anything other than Gilmore Girls and Making It reruns right now. And then Gilmore Girls the other day, Rory was writing, was talking about her Harvard application and mentioned how she was doing an essay on Hillary Clinton. And I was like, politics! No, my safe space! So I'm left with Making It. That's all I have left. And if you guys haven't watched that, it is a delight. Mrs. Beep knows. It's pure and joyful and sweet
And I beautiful. Love
it is. Mrs. Beep, she's an unexpected addition to the roster this evening. Mrs. Beep, do you have a question for Sarah?
Oh my God. No, I just want to say I'm a huge fan from your Instagram. Yeah, hi.
Thanks. Hi.
Literally 2 weeks ago, I was like, oh yeah, we got, you know, Sarah Spain coming. I was like, wait, who? Or a week ago? I don't know, whatever. And I was like, okay, let me check this girl out. Oh my God, I love you. I was like, she's awesome. This is like, yes. Oh my God, she's so cool. This is great. That's all I got to say.
Deep. I think we just became best friends.
Cheers. I'm empty, but you know, I just got to go refill.
Yeah, so. Refill that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Sarah, sophisticated date / drunk hot girl. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. This was an absolute delight, and we hope to have you on again sometime down the road. Maybe we can pick your brains whenever one of your sports teams, I don't know, makes the finals or the Super Bowl, or you know.
wait. Oh, did we ever get the answer? Did we ever get the answer? What up, though? What up, though? What up, though? Sarah, who you got in the verses tonight? Gucci Mane or Jeezy?
Okay, so I'm going to give you the most honest answer of the night. And that is that I was co-hosting Chiney and Golic Jr. today because Golic Jr. had his college football stuff. And at the end of the show, after just like this super busy day where I didn't have time to prep or anything, but I felt like I was, you know, really knew my stuff about all the topics, Chiney's like, oh, versus tonight, who you got? Jeezy or Gucci? And I'm like, Jeezy for sure. But I'm a gigantic Tool and I don't like trap music. And I'm... And I don't have time to keep up with music, so I pick like what I want to listen to instead of trying to seem young, right, and hip. And I just don't, so Fitz and I were just talking about this, and we decided that trap music is either da na 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 or like lip slop that, and so, like that's all I hear. And I like melodies, not like, you know, folk music, although I do like that, but like old school hip hop where they sampled from awesome 70s songs that actually had melodies and hooks, and the new stuff just doesn't do it for me. I like Anderson .Paak and like some people that are current that have melodies, but I could not name a single Jeezy song. I could not name a single Gucci Mane song. I'm a massive loser when it comes to keeping up with that stuff. And when I was younger and old people used to say that, I'd be like, God, they're just not trying. It's not that hard. And now that I'm old and I have 8,000 responsibilities and almost no free time, I just don't have the time to devote to keeping up with something I don't like just to be a part of it.
And we get,
well, that's fine. That's a perfect answer. More. It was 50-50 anyway. So you,
yeah, I mean, I could have lied to you, but I feel like this is a safe space to be honest about being someone who has lost touch with music. I used to really be on the cutting edge of the music scene, and now I'm... Now I'm very one note. Now all I know about is sports. It takes up all my time.
All right. Well, on that answer.
Landing the plane. I like the messages at the bottom. I wish I could just respond to all of those throughout. First, as I believe you're talking about, when I was definitely with a nose. Just in general.
No.
Beep. That was the first time I'd ever heard Beep's real name.
Yeah. Oh, Mrs. Beep. This is Beep uncovered. Beep.
His name. I like that.
I'm gonna beep that out. So
that was me. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
I've got the recording. I'm gonna release that separately.
We now have to start calling him Beep just in case.
I love this. This is a really funny discus. Okay. Oh, you got hit in the head with a discus?
Yeah, Rachel Ma is an absolute bitch. Fuck, she hit me in the head with a discus. She didn't even apologize.
On purpose? Like, we went
into, yeah, no, she saw me going to collect my discus, and the stupid bitch had a throw, got me right in the head, knocked me out.
Oh, did you get knocked out? Because that's like legit.
Yeah, no, she like full knocked me out. I had to be like go in the ambulance. Like it, I was out.
My sister hit me in the head with a golf club, and I had to go get stitches in the side of my head. And then once we went to race to fix the pitchfork that we were helping my mom garden with that we hadn't stuck back in the ground, we'd left it lying on its side. My mom was like, that's really dangerous, girl. So then we raced to fix it. And I tripped and I stepped right on it, right through the foot, which was cool. Anyway, this is a fun message. Collection of messages that are all very dated now. Anyway, for using the word myopic.
I love that. Like, yeah. I type out, I'm landing the plane, and Sarah is dragging this thing out.
Like, no, by can't reading, land yet.
Reading our I'm text messages. how many glasses deep are you right now? Like, be honest with us. That was not the first one that you sat down.
No. This is number two. But okay. I literally today did not have 5 minutes break since 11:30 a.m.
Okay.
So okay. I'm on that, like,
yeah.
I haven't stopped the ride yet. So once you guys go away and then I start watching Making It and I have another glass of wine, then it'll all settle down.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we're going to let you get to that unless you just want to hang out. Like, we will genuinely just sit here and just shoot the shit. As long as you want to, I don't want to
just keep drinking. Position.
Yeah, because exactly. Eventually Pamela will go to sleep. Jeff will fall asleep in the chair.
Yeah,
and I was just gonna say,
it's morning, right? It's like
somebody.
No, it's 2:45 in the afternoon. I had my first day at work today. I'm up. Like, I will keep you up all day.
Someone send the link to Chris Cody. He'll stay up to like 3 o'clock in the morning drinking with us. he's done that more than once, like on a Zoom with all of us, just drink beer till like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
That's nice. And
that's why we fight for his job, so he stays on Zoom with us.
Exactly. Sometimes you have to fight for your friends so that you have friends.
So we force him to be our friend.
Dude, that is one thing we have not addressed, at least in one of these sort of like larger pods, is like it. I hate giving him credit, but Lebereddit ran a hell of a effort to roll for Chris.
Don't
there.
Tell him.
To be fair though, too.
Let's edit that out.
This would have happened anyway.
He got a turn or anything, but there was stuff going on behind the scenes from the beginning. And like, we're not going to share that. And so I got frustrated, actually. Some guy on Twitter is like, I can't believe you put out a podcast, like nothing's going on. And I'm like, first of all, that's my job. And secondly, it was already recorded and like set. It had nothing to do with this. And also, I know what's going on behind the scenes. Just because I'm not telling you doesn't mean I don't know what's happening. It's not my place to say it. So I'm just going to keep telling you we're all very sad and we're all hoping for the best and like knowing that, you know, things are going to be okay.
Yeah.
But you're right. They did do a fantastic job. And I got nothing against that thing. I think it's awesome that they do that and that they're such loyal fans. I love the show so much. I wish I could be on it more, but I listen to it every single day. And so I don't blame them for creating a community and loving it. I think it's like anywhere else on the internet. It just becomes about sometimes, you know, attacking things for no good reason and for no, you know, usefulness because you're bored or you're sad or you're whatever. When I don't like things, I tend to just keep it to myself or tell like my husband. I don't go tell people on the internet that someone sucks.
It's the most ignorant thing ever. Like, people get laid off in any environment. It's like, you know what I should do? Quit working and just stop working for the company that's looking at who they can cut. Like, yeah, that's what I should do. I should
let me cause a wave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Sarah, we all of us at Lauer After Hours absolutely love your linebacker shoulders.
Thank you.
From all of us, on the count of three, can I get a thank you, Sarah? One, two, three. Thank you, Sarah.
It'll get there.
And thank you, Fletch.
Yes, thank you, Fletch.
Sarah, thank you so much. For both of your doggies for spending this time with us.
There's
this
three
evening.
Three of them. Thank you.
Three of them. Oh,
yeah, that's two dogs. They're just like the same color.
Okay. Oh, beautiful. Love them. Sarah, thank you again for doing this with us, for hanging out and answering all of our questions, and for being such a good sport about everything.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
It was really fun. I was very tired. I was like, oh shit, I don't get to be done with my day. And then I had a really good time and you guys are awesome.
Oh, fantastic. Well, pass those kind words along to Diana and help us get her on.
I will. I'll send her a message. I'll be like, oh my God, you will not believe what they heard about you from someone back in Jersey.
Hell yeah.
Tell you until you're on the
Well, Sarah, thank
hey,
you.
Tell her. I was going to say, tell her one of Ramon's friends told us.
I had Tupac, like, no camera, and then I was like, Scottie Pippen's voice, and it's like,
he could be up. pole right now. He could be in the sky. Like a, he does
dance. A cell phone tower.
Cell phone tower, 100 feet in the air.
I like to just say pole. You know, could be anything. I could be up a pole. You don't know. You don't know what I'm capable of.
Get rooted, Morgan.
My friend worked for Verizon for 20 years, and when they were on strike, she had to go up poles because they would send executives to go fix people's shit. Because, like, during the strike, they would get sent to random towns, and they would have to show up and, like, fix people's, like, cable wires and cell lines. So she's, like, this tiny blonde girl, and she had to wear, like, Timberlands and, like, a jumpsuit and, like, go up telephone poles. Anyway, that's what I'm picturing.
She's one of the village people or something.
Yeah.
Well, mine a little bigger than that. Mine about 200 feet.
Whoa. You're talking about the telephone pole?
Baby.
Timberlands.
Baby. All right. I should probably go ahead.
I tried landing the plane, and the plane is in a ditch, like in a swamp.
I'm like that rejoin that they used to play about the person who took a dump on the beverage cart. Everyone's like, how do you get into that position where you're so drunk that you're taking a dump?
Yeah, right now you're Dan pooping next to his riding plaques in his yard.
This is a tease for you guys that next week's podcast guest is Jen Latta, and she has a pooping in her neighbor's yard story.
We had her on. Latta,
guest of the show.
Nice.
Yeah,
and it was recent. I thought it was going to be as a kid.
Oh, shit.
Very recent.
Literally.
Anyway,
Sarah, thank you so much.
Thank you very much
for
Sarah.
Your time. Appreciate it. You have a wonderful evening.
See ya.
Thank you, thanks, Sarah.
Have
thank
a good
you.
One. Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Lauer After Hours. You can always reach us on Twitter at Lauer After Hours or Instagram at Lauer After Hours. We're available wherever you get podcasts, so don't forget to download, subscribe, review, and rate 5 stars.